Well, welcome everyone to this week's edition of Inside ECAC Hockey. Bernie Corbin on our women's profile this week, and as always, sponsored by our friends at the Corsia Family Foundation and the Mike Capasso Scholarship Fund. And very pleased to have with us the goalie for the Quinnipiac Bobcats, Katie Boudiette, coming off some outstanding play recently and looking forward to challenges this weekend, to having a chance to play outdoors at Fenway Park, in addition to a big league game to follow against Dartmouth. Katie, welcome to the show. Great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Katie, the overall body of work here for the Bobcats has been outstanding this season. You at 18-3 overall, 8-1, and a very treacherous to navigate ECAC, very competitive league this year, the likelihood for multiple teams to make the NCAA tournament. What about the overall success of the team that you've enjoyed so far? And was there a feeling that you really had something to build on after the run to the national tournament a year ago?
I think we just really have started focusing on our little details. Coach has been very key on that this year, just good sticks, good bumps, disrupting plays and puck possession time. So I think that we've really focused in on those this year, which has been a big part of our success.
I noticed that the goaltending position, very competitive one at Quinnipiac, rather unusual to have a competitive situation where you've got multiple, not just two goaltenders or maybe a third, but you actually with four goaltenders on the roster. What's that experience like in terms of the competitive nature at the position there at obviously a top program?
So it's actually just Logan, me, and Tatum. But it is very competitive, and Logan and I, you know, we push each other every day in practice, and it's kind of a cool duo to have because we're both obviously really good friends and really good teammates to each other, but the compete and practice is pretty cool to be a part of.
I see you're down to three now. I know you had four at the beginning of the year, so you've narrowed it down a little more conventional three goaltender rotation there in terms of practice and competition. And a year ago you brought in a grad transfer from Boston University with an outstanding resume with the Corinne Schroeder. She came in as a veteran, fifth-year player. What did you learn from example there for her and how she came in? She had a great year for you and working with the program in her only year with the program last season.
I learned a lot from her. I think just watching her come to practice every day and take it as a game was pretty cool to watch and kind of gave me a little bit of a wake-up call. So that was good, and she pushed me and Logan in practice every day, and she was always super supportive and just always willing to go out of her way to give you tips or push you in practice, things like that.
And so far this season, your resume right now, Katie, 8 games, a .985 save percentage, already with multiple shutout performances. I mean, I had to look kind of a double take there to see the goals against .286. You've given up just 2 goals. You've got 5 shutouts. I thought I was looking at one of the goaltenders from the Soccer World Cup. Amazing. What do you attribute that to? Anything in particular from the offseason and your development at the position to obviously to be mastering the position to the point that you are now to be almost impenetrable?
Yeah, I think I've just really focused in this year on little details, and my goalie coach has a big part in that from home. He's been really focusing in with me and looking at all the, like, nitpicking all the little stuff to work on. And over the summer, I really improved my game through screens and traffic in front of the net, so that has been a huge plus to my game. And I think just really confidence overall, and the team in front of me has given me a lot of confidence. So
you mentioned being able to be able to track the puck, and you're on the tall side at 5'11". That's got to be a help for you to see through that forest out there when they're creating screens and putting traffic in front of the net for you.
For sure. Definitely a big help.
I'm sure that doesn't hurt. You mentioned your goalie coach from home. Well, home is not that far away. A lot of times You've got, you know, folks that play Division I hockey, they can travel across the continent, multiple time zones. You decided to stay close to home. You played at the Kent School. You're from Reading, Connecticut. The decision to come to Quinnipiac, did it factor in prominently to stay close to home, to stay close to family, to have the opportunity for them to share your experience and your career?
I mean, a little bit. Yeah, it definitely is really nice to be close to home so that my parents can come to every game. And I know they're always close if something happens, God forbid. And I think it, like, my decision wasn't really based off of that, though. It was kind of just looking at this hockey program when I committed here and seeing how successful they were and seeing how really focused in they were to details, and the coaching staff was the big reason why I came here.
And also the coaching staff, you had some familiarity there. And most recently, Wisconsin has been one of the top programs in the country with Mark Johnson. I mean, year in and year out, they're at the top. And this most recent weekend with Logan splitting the time, you had you ended the old year with a shutout loss, and then bounced back with you picking up the shutout victory. Just to take us through, give us a little bit of perspective on what that was like facing one of the brand name top programs in the country. Not only facing them, but being able to manage, handle the situation, bring your team back to get a split, and to come up with yet another shutout for you.
I mean, it was awesome. I think we went into the weekend playing a little nervous just because all the things that you hear about them, and they are a very good program. And so the first game, obviously, we try not to let ourselves get too down, and we know that we could skate with them. We know that we are as good as them. So we came back the second game, and I think we just played with confidence, all of us, and focused in on the little things that coach has been talking about all year, and those really did make a big difference in the second game.
In the second game, you had for the shutout, you had 34 saves in the shutout performance. Got outshot almost 2-1 in the third period. You got the pushback, the inevitable pushback. As a goaltender, I would assume that's a lot of the mental part of the game. You're protecting a lead, but you can't be too overwhelmed by the fact that you know that there's going to be an inevitable pushback from the team that's trailing in that situation.
Right. Yeah. I think just to stay focused through the whole thing and take one shot at a time is really important.
And you mentioned about your goalie coach being local, and you having played growing up in that area. You've actually, from my research, you go back quite a long way in hockey. You had the influence of, I believe, an older brother. You got on skates at what, about 4 or 5 years old when you first started in hockey?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, definitely took it after my older brother.
And as far as the goaltending position, it's always intriguing to me as far as how people come to the goaltending position, or how the goaltending position comes to them, as it were. But in your case, you had an interest in the position relatively early on in terms of embracing the opportunity to play goalie as opposed to being a skater at on the defense or playing at forward. You seem to really be enamored with the position itself at an early age.
Yeah, I think it was one where I just always wanted to be on the ice and always wanted to be part of the play and action. So I think from a very young age, I chose to stick with it. And it definitely helped that my brother was a forward, so he always wanted someone to shoot on in the driveway or that sticks
right.
And pucks. So
right.
It was me.
Yeah. That came in handy. He needed somebody, in the driveway growing up, so you were it.
Yes, for sure.
Right. Yeah. And in addition to your early play there, mentioned about very prestigious Kent School, great reputation for prep hockey, longstanding, on the boys' side, the girls' side, everything, winning a championship. But also had great success all the way up to, I believe, the U-16s. I saw coverage of you playing and playing on the boys' side with the U-16s and winning championships at that level. So you had some great training there.
Yeah, for sure. That was a awesome experience, for sure.
No question. And also in the new age that we live in here with the NCAA, I know that you have an affiliation with a company that you're able to do marketing, and it's athletic based. Just to give us some perspective, I believe the company is Pliable that you work with your marketing. And
yes.
This has been a new new opportunity for you, new opportunity for athletes across the NCAA that they've been able to embrace.
Yeah, I think it's awesome that that became available to us. Greg with Pliable Marketing, I've been working with him since the summer now. And I think it's just a really cool opportunity for athletes to be able to get their names out there and make relationships with other companies and ambassadors. And it's just a whole big network of people that are always good to know and always good to be around. So.
And with that marketing opportunity, also, you've got an interest above and beyond, not surprisingly, with media. You've got a concentration journalism, and I believe also in sociology academically. What about your pursuit there and your interests? I'm sure you'd like to continue to play hockey and have an opportunity, but your other interests, if, as it were, in terms of profession and career pursuit?
Yeah, I think doing something in sports media would be awesome, obviously. I love being around sports, especially hockey. So I think staying around sports would be really cool, and just being able to travel and write about that.
Absolutely. Well, take it from me. It's not a bad way to go. It beats the heck out of working, Katie. Believe me. I've made a lifelong dedication to that. It's worked out okay so far. Fingers crossed.
Yes.
And as far as influence at the position, whenever I'm talking to a goalie, always talked about, you mentioned about your goalie coach, and whenever I talk to a goalie, they always talk about my goalie coach, you know, whoever it is, somebody that they've worked with longstanding, and how close the relationship is, and in terms of technique and fundamental and development. Are there goaltenders that you take a look at either on the women's side that maybe at the Olympic level, the international level, or is there a favorite goalie for you in the NHL that you followed?
Yeah, my favorite goalie in the NHL is Vasilevsky, and I've really kind of dove into looking at his game really close this past year, and just how focused he is even going into practice every day, and how he prepares for games and prepares his mind and body is pretty cool to watch. And obviously seeing how successful he is at that level is also really cool, so definitely taking some notes after him.
I see. Okay. So Vasilevsky, so you've cast, with some of the research that I did, you were a big Marc-Andre Fleury fan at one time, but he's been cast aside now.
Yeah.
Vasilevsky's now the winner. He's moved into first place. Influence on your career at this point. So we'll have to give the bad news to Marc-Andre Fleury. So I have to break that news to him very gently. I'm sure he's going to be distraught. But this weekend, you've got Frozen Fenway upcoming. Memories that you have about playing outdoors, you know, hockey kind of in its natural form and the outdoor setting. I'm sure that's going to be very, I don't know if you're a Red Sox fan at all. You grew up in Connecticut. You might be a Yankee fan. You might not like baseball. I don't know. But to be able to play at Fenway Park and to play Harvard, a big ECAC game for you. What about that experience as you look forward to it?
I mean, I'm so excited. It's going to be an awesome experience. Being from Connecticut, I didn't really grow up playing a lot outside, like our people from Minnesota on our team, for sure. So I think that will be a super, super cool experience. Just going there and being with the team. And on tomorrow, we get to go and just skate around and take pictures. So it's a really cool opportunity.
Well, enjoy that. Enjoy the moment, and be able to have your own outdoor hockey experience. Hopefully, it'll be a successful one for you and the Bobcats this weekend. And then you go on. You got a big game with Dartmouth also this weekend. And that ECAC race. I mean, you've been around this league now as a veteran. You've observed it. You played in it for a couple of years. Just unbelievably competitive this year in terms of just the quantity and the quality of the teams in that league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's awesome. This league is very competitive, and every game matters. Like going into every single weekend, every point matters, and all the details matter. So definitely a really cool league to be in.
Well, Katie, thanks very much for joining us. We appreciate, and best of the new year to you and your Quinnipiac Bobcats as you move forward, beginning with the next test at Fenway Park.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Welcome back to Inside ECAC Hockey for the new year. Happy new year. Happy new hockey year as we get ready for the second half, the second semester for the ECAC season. Our profile on the men's side this week from the Clarkson Golden Knights. And as always, our segments here on Inside ECAC Hockey are sponsored by the Corsia Family Foundation in conjunction with the Matt Capasso Scholarship Fund. And we're pleased to have with us senior centerman out of Quebec City, Quebec, Matthew Gosselin of the Clarkson Golden Knights, coming off a big weekend and a big tournament victory for the Golden Knights. Matthew, welcome to the show, and Happy New Year to you.
Thanks for having me. Happy New Year to you, too.
Well, Matthew, talking to your coach just a little bit earlier for my program on Sirius XM with Casey Jones, it has been a bit of a roller coaster run. Very streaky season so far for the Golden Knights. And with this tournament victory, hopefully you're hitting a good streak into the second half of the year. Just to give us a little bit of perspective from the inside, you being a veteran member of the team, guy that has got leadership, obviously invested in this team as one of the leaders, and just to what this season has been like for you overall, and just trying to manage that and trying to search for that consistency.
Yeah, like you said, it's been kind of a roller coaster ride for us. I think a little bit of a tough start with, I think we lost our first four games or something, and then we couldn't really go on a streak or anything. We lost a couple tough games in the ECAC. Couldn't figure out a way to score goals consistently, and hopefully, like you said, this tournament win will give us a little boost and will give us exactly what we need to go on a streak here in the second half.
Well, you had a big offensive night for you with the three-goal hat trick against UMass. That I would suspect that's the type of game that can really get you going. You ended up doing a lot of good things in the first period. You had a pretty big territorial advantage. You outshoot them 15-6. Yet you're about halfway through and down 3-0. Just all of a sudden, it seemed like the light went on, and the way the game's played now, it's unusual to see a team get on a run like you did offensively with six unanswered goals.
Yeah, I think it was kind of, I was really proud of this group, just the way we answered in the second half of the game. I thought we played the right way the whole time, and then we couldn't really get it done in the first half. I think we, like you said, we were trailing by two later on, and then kind of started going in out of nowhere. So we'll take it.
Absolutely. And you being a senior member of this team and one of the veteran members of this team this season, do you feel that that ownership, that responsibility a little bit more so this year, and having an opportunity to get letters on the chest for veteran guys and so forth?
Yeah, obviously it's my job and the job of a lot of other guys in the room to get the group going when it's not going well. Obviously, as a senior, I feel like it's a little more important for us to get the offense going and just to show the younger guys how to just play in the right way, even if it's not going well, or when it is going well, just keep playing the right way. And I think that's what we did against UMass, sorry.
And good start against UMass. Anytime you play in an in-season tournament, a famous coach that I hung around with for a long time, Jack Parker, would talk about those in-season tournaments. You get a chance, it's in little instant gratification. You can win something, you get a trophy. You had an opportunity to play for a trophy in the second game against Wisconsin, close to home for Wisconsin, the host team in the tournament there in Milwaukee. And another test there against the Wisconsin team. They're similar to your team, had some struggles here, but a difficult test nonetheless, and you were able to beat them essentially in a home game for them in Milwaukee.
Yeah, that was another good game. Another good, very skilled team, Wisconsin. And I think it was a lot more low scoring, but still we got a big game for my goalie and a couple of big goals here and there. And we played the right way the whole game. And I think that power play goal by Romano and that first goal by Chris Clack off the faceoff was big for us. And then we kind of just shut it down from there. And as you said, it doesn't happen every weekend that we get to play for a championship. So we kind of took advantage of that and just played for that trophy.
Absolutely. Came back with the trophy and the championship in the tournament out there. Overall, the experience, also good to get out on the road, good to get a little bonding experience. I remember going out there with Boston University to Milwaukee back at the old Bradley Center building and playing in a couple of tournaments out there. Always a good atmosphere. What was that like? You got to play in not an NHL building, but you got to play in an NBA building, a really modern, relatively recent creation out there with that new Fiserv.
Yeah, it was really special. We didn't really know what to expect as far as the rink. Like you said, it's a brand new, not brand new, but a couple years old NBA arena, and it was really special. We're not really used to that playing college hockey, but it was a beautiful arena. Got a good crowd on both nights, and it was really special. And you know, coming off the Christmas break, we never really know what to expect from the teams. Like, how are we gonna answer? How are we gonna play? And I think we answered that right away, and we played really well. So that it was a special weekend for us.
A great weekend, give you something to build on as you move ahead. As far as your hockey background, Matthew, you grew up in Quebec City, not unusual. You traveled a few time zones away to play junior hockey. You went out to the BCHL. BCHL is traditionally, it's been a great proving ground to send players on to Division I hockey. Was that something that you had very much in the plans for you hockey wise to get out to the BCHL and be in a position to attract attention for the NCAA to be able to come to the United States and play?
Oh, you know what? When I was younger, I didn't really think that was the route I was going to take. But as I got older, like probably 15, 16 years old, I kind of realized that, major junior wasn't the right path for me. And then I took the steps to go play in a junior league that would allow me to find a Division I team. And then from there, I traveled to Merritt in the BCHL. I had two good years there, and then I moved on to Clarkson after that.
At Clarkson, what attracted you in terms of the recruiting process there and the decision-making process to come to Clarkson? Kind of a unique, I've been up there several times. It's kind of a unique hockey experience and a hockey environment to be up there in the North Country. They love their college hockey up there. You're an important guy when you're playing for the Clarkson team up there.
Yeah, it's a special hockey place, and that's probably the thing that attracted me the most. And then, the team was successful. I like the culture here. I like the group of coaches, the group of players that they had, and that's pretty much what got me here, I would say. Just the culture in general and how special the hockey is here.
Okay. Also indicative of how well you've performed there overall, you've got the Campbell, the Scholar Hockey Endowment, and I believe Mr. Campbell still he's been honored recently, about a year ago. Did you have the opportunity to meet him somewhere along the way where you've had that very prestigious award?
Yeah, I've met him a couple times. I think he's been on campus three times or so in the past 4 years. So every time he gets here, I get to have a little meal with him and chat about hockey and all those things. So it's an honor to have that scholarship, and just meeting him in person was special every time. So,
yeah. No doubt. I'm sure. Great moment. And you were playing in the middle this season, and currently you've been playing with Adrian Martino, who's currently the leading scorer. You're right up there on the score sheet on the left side. And also a Danish product, a guy that I'm familiar with playing for the University of Maine in Hockey East. He was a very solid player for Maine. and seems to be thriving up there in the North Country with Jacob Schmidt Svestrup. What's it been like as far as the way that you guys have worked together and had success together as a line?
Yeah, I love playing with those guys. As far as Martino is concerned, I think he's a special player. He's really talented. He's easy to play with. He makes plays every single time we're on the ice, and I love playing with him. And then Schmidt Schuster from the transfer from Maine from last year. He's been great for our team. He plays on, you know, both ways of the ice very well, good defensively. And I think he's a bigger player than me and Martino, so that helps us. He's physical, and also he can definitely put the puck in the back of the net, so that helps us as well.
Yeah, he's a big presence. You guys are a little bit on the smaller side, going around 170, and he gives you the 200 pounds there to clear out on the other side. And thank you for the reminder on the pronunciation. I called his name playing against BU, and I just screwed it up. So thank you for correcting me. I appreciate that. I don't like to make mistakes like that, and you were right there for me to save me.
I think I messed it up right. Too, though. I think I messed it up too.
I think Schmidt Schuster is like, yeah, I think that's right. The two of us, we got to learn how to speak Danish, I guess, right? Have you learned any Danish there? Whenever I ask guys, a lot of times they say they can, you know, if they got a guy from Finland or Sweden, or in this case in Denmark, you learn how to curse in that language. But that's all. Have you picked up anything there as far as you guys being able to communicate? You got Toronto, Quebec City, and you got Denmark on the line.
Yeah, there's a few words here and there, but not. I think as far as Denmark, I haven't learned anything I can repeat on here. So
that's what I figured. Usually ends with "pass me the puck, Matthew." Right? Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
That's exactly. That's the universal language. That's for sure. And overall, things have progressed for you and your team here to this point. As far as what you've done, just to talk a little bit in a moment here about where you're headed on the ice with the Clarkson program, almost exclusively to league play. But I got a comment about the academic scholarship there with that Campbell scholarship. But you were in mathematical economics, I believe, and you've been a two-time all-academic selection. What about your major there? You're pretty heavy slanted on the math side. That's really where your comfort level is, I guess.
Yeah, I was more attracted of towards the business side of things, and then I saw that we had that kind of special major here when I got here, and I was just interested in going forward with math as well. So it was kind of the best of both worlds. I definitely had a lot of math classes, but it wasn't too overwhelming. I'm almost done my degree now as a senior, obviously, and looking back, it hasn't been too bad, I would say. I thought it'd be a little more challenging for me, and it went well for the most part, so I'm glad about that.
Absolutely. Sounds you're well down the road as far as your game plan working both on the ice and in the classroom academically is obviously very important. You've got a trip down to Worcester this weekend. You got one game with Holy Cross, and then I believe it's just exclusively going to be league play for you. You got some important league weekends. You actually come back to the Boston area again. You've got the Harvard and then up to New Hampshire to play Dartmouth. You guys got a little bit of a road warrior stretch there for a couple of weekends in league play, but an opportunity to make a move there in the league standings and to make a push back for that NCAA tournament. I know that's been an elusive goal for you guys. You've had second place finishes. COVID's been in the way, and I'm sure that you and the rest of that senior class really would like a taste of getting to the dance and getting to that NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it'd be really big for us. That's obviously a dream of ours, just to be in that tournament. And, you know, the first couple years, as you said, COVID got in the way. And then, like you said, we're on the road for a long period of time, but I think we can get some big wins and maybe get a push here to get in those, get higher in the rankings and get a shot at the tournament eventually.
Absolutely. Those are just a couple of the goals that you have currently for you and your Clarkson Golden Knights teammates here looking toward the second half of your senior year there in Potsdam. Matthew, thanks very much. Really appreciate you joining us as our player profile this week. And Happy New Year once again. Best of the new year and best to you and your Golden Knights teammates as they go forward.
Happy New Year to you, and thanks for having me again. Thank you.
Matthew Gosselin, senior centerman out of Quebec City, Quebec, for the Clarkson Golden Knights. Our guest here, our player profile on Inside ECAC Hockey on the men's side. Inside ECAC Hockey is presented by the Corsia Family Foundation in conjunction with the Mike Capasso Scholarship Fund.